and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Excited. Yeah! Hallelujah! All right, we're doing a new song this morning, and the basis of it is just I believe what God says about me. Turn to the person to the right or to the left of you and say, I agree with what God says about me. Come on, say it to a few more people. I agree with what God says about me. Rejoice in our victorious God this morning. Come on, clap your hands. Everybody shout with me. Everybody shout with me. Everybody shout with me. All things are possible. All things. Come on, sing that. All things.
I concur,
I agree, I believe what God says. you to remind yourself right now. I want you to remind your flesh. I want you to remind your emotions. I want you to remind the enemy of every single victory that God has won you in your life. Go ahead and say it out loud. Flesh, you have to praise God. Soul, you have to praise God right now, because God has won every single victory for me in my life. He has healed me. He has prospered me. He has saved me. He has restored me. Go ahead and just remind yourself right now of how many victories God has won you, because he deserves all of our praise, all of our attention, no matter how we're feeling this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
this room right now and you're saying, I hear these words, but I don't think that they apply to me. And I'm here to tell you that these words apply to you. You are not victim of your situation. Whatever might be going on, whether it be finances, whether it be something, it hurt, pain, whatever you're going through, you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So declare that today with everything that you have. You have already gone through the battle. It's already won. If you believe that today, give God a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, holiness has Welcome into the house of God. family. How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey guys, are you newly saved or just want to get more involved or simply grow? We have a class just for you. I encourage you to come to our Growth Track class from 9:45 to 10:45 at our Ithaca campus. Hope to see you there.
We are so excited to be bringing Next Steps across all of our campuses. I want to invite you out on Tuesday nights at Horseheads Campus and Mansfield Campus at 7 p.m. Wednesdays, Horseheads Campus at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 6 p.m. at the Horseheads and Ithaca campuses. You do not want to miss out on the great opportunity to build your faith, build your foundation, and to grow.
Everybody, how's everyone doing today? Good morning, His Tabernacle. I'm so glad you're here. I want to welcome everyone who's watching via live stream today. We're so glad that you're tuning in. If you're a first-time guest, can you raise your hand for me? We have ushers who are going to bring a special gift out to you. Keep them raised so we make sure we don't miss you. We want to invite you to our guest reception on this side of the building after service. We have a time of refreshments and fellowship where you can get to know our leaders and pastors, and we can get to know you a little bit more too. So please make sure you make your way over there after service if you're one of our first-time guests. So if you are between the ages of 18 and 30, can I see your hands, please? Come on, wave them at me. Yeah. Tonight is Awaken Monthly. It's our annual summer bash. We're going to have food and games. You are not going to want to miss it. Awaken is always so much fun, so please come out tonight. Also, our baby bottle drive is coming to an end. Who has picked up one of our bottles that we have out in the foyer? Yes, please remember to bring them back. Next Sunday is the deadline to bring them back. So you still have time to take one home, fill it up with your spare change, and bring it back. It goes to an amazing cause helping the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. We always want to support them. So please grab a bottle on your way out. Also, Love Week is here. Yay! Who's heard about Love Week? It is happening. This is an amazing opportunity for you to get involved in our community. And whether you think you have something to offer or not, whether you think you have the time to do something, there are so many ways for you to get involved, even for just an hour or two. You don't want to miss this opportunity to serve and get filled by serving out and giving out. So I have a really easy way. If you're maybe overwhelmed with all the choices, I have a really easy way. Everyone has their phones?
Yeah.
Go ahead, take them out and text HT Love Week to 97000. One word. If you text that, you're going to get a link with all the info and a way to register right there in your seats. Don't be on your phone when the message starts, though. So I also want to invite you to the rally Thursday night at 6 p.m. There's a big kickoff rally for this event. We are joining forces with Uproar. It's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss this. We're going to get filled up. It's all about loving our community. So thank you so much for the support so far. Find me out in the foyer if you have any questions. We want to make sure you get plugged in and involved if you have the heart to, okay? So please welcome Pastor Spencer.
Good morning, everybody. Woo! What a great day, isn't it? God's been so good to us. We just want to give you a few testimonies as we're getting ready to go into tithes and offerings. I want you to know how powerful you are. Can you turn to somebody and say, thank God you're a tither and a seeder. This house is busy. We're doing Love Week this whole week. What's real exciting as well, last week we launched our Mansfield campus. Can you give God a hand clap this morning? Amen. 158 people at launch day for Mansfield. Now, you see, I'm kind of sinning myself, but I have over here on the iPad the Ithaca campus going, and on the phone I've got the Mansfield campus going. So I'm pastoring, I'm watching them. It's really cool watching vision come to fruition. Amen. And we also have a church that we oversee in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. Can you give God praise for them? As well as Louisville, Kentucky. Can you give God praise for them? Louisville. As well as West Virginia. And I can't even say the name of the town, dear Lord. West Virginia. God's doing great things, as well as Campeche, Mexico, Northern Campeche, Merida City, Cancun, and now Puerto Rico. Amen? So his tabernacle, every week, many people don't realize this, every week when his word TV comes on, we are ministering to, they say, at least 15,000 households right now. So 15,000 households are tuning in and watching his word TV every single Sunday. We're believing God just for 5% of them to come to the building. Amen? Imagine if 5% came to the building for second service, you're in trouble. You're going to have to sit outside. It's exciting to see what God is doing. And I just want to say thank you as your pastor that you are faithful to God. You know, a lot of people, when we start talking about finances, who don't understand, their mindset says, well, all the church wants is your money. Well, I want you to know something. Part of that is true. What? The pastor actually admitted it? Absolutely. Without money, the kingdom doesn't happen. Amen? The gospel is free, but the kingdom is not. And I just thank God that you are faithful. Because you know what that does? That allows you to sit in a chair. Amen. That allows us to have this beautiful background. Amen? That allows us, I just want to thank God for multimedia services. They're just tremendous to His Tabernacle Family Church, especially when it comes to the props. They bless us many times. But these kind of props are very expensive. All this stuff that we have at His Tabernacle costs money. And I just want to say, as your pastor, thank you, not for giving it to me, but for obeying God and giving it to God. Amen? Remember, when you give, you're not giving to a church. You're not giving to a religion. You're giving to Jesus. And the Bible declares that, according to Leviticus chapter 27, that the tithe is holy to the Lord. So I want to remind you, as you're giving, that you're giving your 10%. You're saying, God, this is yours. Lord, I trust you with it. God, I declare your blessing with it, and the Lord will bless you back. Can I hear an amen? How many here are tithers and you found that it works? Amen. You know, I think I have found they do what's called a tithe challenge in some churches, where if you tithe for 3 months and you actually are in worse shape after 3 months, that they'll give all your 3 months tithe back. Well, I'm sorry, if you're giving it to God, God doesn't give a refund. Amen. But he'll bless you, or his word is a lie. And I know God's word is truth. Amen? So shout, I'm a tither. Shout, I'm a sower. Amen. That's who you are. So what we do at His Tabernacle for all those that are our guests, we actually bring our tithe and offering to the Lord. And this morning, we're going to take communion together. So when you come and receive or come and give your tithe, make sure you grab a communion cup for you and the folks that are around you so that we can take communion together. So let's all stand to our feet. Let's make our supernatural proclamation. I think our furthest guest this morning is Arizona. Amen. Arizona, glory to God. Long ways from home. Jesus. Doc, you guys just came from where last year? You were in India, right? Where were you? Were you overseas? Yeah. France. They were in France last week. Welcome home. I was in Miami last week. It's good to be home. Listen, I don't mind when it's hot to visit. It's hot. But I like it here. Don't you guys like, don't you love your loving here? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let's make our supernatural progress. How many believe the Bible's true? Yeah. Then shout it out loud. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. How big is your basket? Come on now. Some of you are going like this. How big is your basket? Come on now. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Who are you? Then shout it out loud. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. Make sure you grab a communion cup as well.
Savior, worthy. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just give God praise and glory. We just thank Him for this day. Amen. It's a day that He made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Amen. We're so excited because this weekend, say this weekend, we had the Women's Encounter Weekend, and we just give God praise and glory for Pastor Rhonda Spencer and the vision over this house and the women who attended. So let's give God praise and glory for Women's Encounter Weekend. Amen. Now, these ladies are representing those who attended this weekend, and we want to thank you for your prayers because our lives were changed. Amen. We were rearranged. We're different. We're not the same. So we're so excited. How many women have attended Women's Encounter in the past? Would you stand up? Come on, just stand up and be acknowledged. Amen. We thank God for all of you and all of you. Amen. Because it's really awesome. These women made the decision to really spend intimate time with God. And it's really a sacrifice to pull away in that way. But I think we're different than we were when we started. Amen? So what we want to share today are some of the things that happened because we were there Thursday night, Friday, and then half a day Saturday. So we want to share with one word. What was Women's Encounter like for you?
Give up control and trust God. Freedom and financial peace.
Freedom from control, knowing I can only control myself.
Same, freedom from control.
Purpose.
Ready, I'm not waiting anymore.
Worthy.
Redemption.
Beautiful.
It's time to break out.
Freedom to go a lot of levels.
Freedom from pain and oppressive demons.
Freedom from certain areas and trying to control my life, and freedom from fear.
Amen. Amen. And global ministry, that's my word. Amen. So we're so excited. We thank God for the opportunity that we had. And also, I just want to encourage you that if you haven't been to Women's Encounter, we were thinking we would only have another one in 2020, but already we have a waiting list. So if you're interested in attending this year, go ahead and connect with Minister Carla and let her know that, and then we can make the decision as God leads us going forward. And then reunion will probably occur sometime in 2019. But we are just so excited. And also, men of God, don't, you know, feel left out. You can sow seeds so that you can send more women. Amen? So we thank God for that, and we thank God for the vision of this house. Thank you, wonderful women of God. Amen.
Come on, give the ladies a hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting to realize that you have the opportunity to invest in your spiritual walk with the Lord? We have the privilege of receiving communion. One of the things that challenges me with communion is a lot of people make it really religious. And I want you to know that Jesus never did anything with religion in mind. Everything He did was personal. Everything He did had eternal consequences. Everything that Jesus did had purpose. And this morning, I want to take communion with you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, with understanding of purpose. The purpose and the power of God is simple. And that is that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross, and He rose from the dead. And He said, I want you to take communion to remind yourself of what was accomplished. You know, many of you have already shared with you in prior times how I pray for my family. You know, the Bible says the sins of the father go down to the third to the fourth generation. So what I do is I declare the covenant of God. How many believe that God is a covenant God? God cannot break a covenant. It is not in Him. It is not part of Him. So God is a covenant God. I have the right to rely upon God's covenant for me and my family. So this is what I pray. I pray pretty much every single day. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Your covenant over my family. I declare, God, over Michael, Rhonda, Cody, Chad, Corinne, Mindy, Jade, Antonio, Sophia, Julian, all of Chad and Jade's children, and all of Corinne and Antonio's children to the fifth generation. because I believe God's blessing should go way beyond what a curse could go. Amen. And I declare in the name of Jesus, not one shall be lost. I declare that all of them will fulfill your purpose and your destiny for the reason for being on this planet. I declare in the name of Jesus that every one of them will feel fulfilled and do God's purpose for their life. I also declare the second part of the covenant, and that is that there is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growth that are not from God. Can I hear an amen? You see, God called us to have divine health, not healing. Healing is there when health is not. But God's plan is health, not just healing. So I declare healing and health over my family. And then I proclaim that the blessings of God, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I declare in the name of Jesus, we are the blessed going in and the blessed going out. We're always going to have more than enough, not just making it by. As tithers and seeders, that God will bless us in every aspect of our life and that God will have glory from our life. You see, I believe that declaring that is the declaration of even what Christ has reminded us for right here in 1 Corinthians. And that is, do this in remembrance of me. He picked up the cup and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. You see, the new covenant is that washing of your sins. That first declaration over my family. And today, if you have sin in your life, I want you to know Jesus will forgive every single sin. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is in your mind. His blood will make you clean. Amen? So I'd like us to grab our cups today. And let's do two things. Number one, say this with me. In Jesus' name, I declare my family shall be saved. They'll fulfill the very purpose of life. When they get to heaven, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But start today with me. If there's any sin, wash it away in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. He grabbed the bread. This is not bread. I really someday want to figure out what this stuff is. Is it styrofoam? Supernatural styrofoam, glory to God. But what I want to remind you what it's about. This is not the body of Jesus. This is a remembrance, a point of contact for you to release your faith. That today, if you're sick in your body, Jesus already made you whole. Today, if you're sick in your body, Jesus has already made you whole. Amen? That there is no sickness. Say this with me. There is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growths in Jesus' name in my body. Father, we thank you for your divine healing and divine health. And we declare, Jesus, that, Lord, as we release our faith, that we will drive out sickness and disease from our body in Jesus' name. God, any wounds, any maiming will be restored. And God, any growths that are not from heaven and not should not be in our body, we curse you and command you to dry up and die in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Let's partake together. Amen. Communion's important because it's very easy to forget what God's plan is for your life. And it's not survival. Tell somebody, I'm not been called to survive. That's right. You've been called to thrive. Thriving is everything. You see some people that just kind of make it by and they're always depressed and always discouraged. And you know what? I want you to know that is not God's plan. I can't hear you. I said that is not God's plan. God's plan is not survival for your life. God's plan is that heaven will come to earth. How do we know that? The Bible says in John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus, everybody shout, but Jesus, come on, shout, but Jesus has come that I might have life and life more abundant. You see, many of us need to step in abundant life, but that cannot happen unless we learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Here's a challenge with the body of Christ. So many of us live by our senses. Now, we talked in a few weeks ago, we talked about what is faith.
It was called the supernatural collision. That there's a collision between the realm of this world and the realm of the spirit. And that's constant collision that is happening. We've got to come to a conclusion. Which one is greater? Which one is more powerful? Which one we're going to rely more upon than the other? Sadly enough, most believers, most Christians have a good heart. They love God. They're going to heaven, but they live more by sight than they do by faith. There must come a transition if we're going to graduate into the promise of Jesus that you and I would have abundant life. You cannot have abundant life if your senses, now that's important for us to recognize and remember that we connect to this planet, to this world by our senses. But we connect to heaven by our faith. When you understand that one must be greater than the other. If the sense world is greater than God's kingdom, then the Bible is useless. Amen or oh my. But if God's kingdom is greater, supernatural, over the sense world, then we are in a position of success when we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. When we learn how to obey God's word, live in God's word, then we'll have a level of the ability to override, that's what I love about God, the supernatural can override the natural. When God declared that the Red Sea would open, this is not a figurative story, but literally the Red Sea opened and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. How is that feasibly possible? That makes no sense to the sense realm. That's right, because the supernatural invaded the natural. And it's time for us to start living this in a normal basis. For you are a supernatural child of God. Can I hear an amen? You aren't natural. You're supernatural if you're born again. And being supernatural, you're seated in heavenly places. And the same God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells inside of you. You can't fail with Jesus on your side. All two of you said amen. I'm going to break into sections. I feel Jesus. What are we going to learn today? Number one, the word and faith are interchangeable. Number two, the word is your title deed. And then I'm going to show you scripturally how it actually works. You see, we can talk about faith, and that's good. But if you don't understand how faith mechanically works, then what happens is you have a hope more than you have a faith. So today we're going to put those two together and help you understand how to actually activate your faith. And then in 2 weeks, next week, Pastor Banfield's preaching. Pastor Banfield, stand up and wave at everybody. It's Father's Day. Make sure you bring your dads next week. Amen. Bring your fathers. We have 1,000 spatulas. Well, 1,000 spatulas. What is a spatula? That's for the grill. Amen. So bring your dads. We're going to bless them, and they're going to hear a great message and be encouraged and strengthened. But today, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And I want you to say this with me. I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on now, say it again. I walk by faith and not by sight. One more time. I walk by faith and not by sight. Then Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is, everybody shout is. That's now. Now faith is. It is present tense. It is not a past tense. It is not your futuristic tense. It is a now tense. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. I love the amplified version for this verse. It says this. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. I love this portion. Here it is. The conviction of their reality. Faith apprehends as facts what cannot be experienced yet by the physical senses. This is the challenge of faith. Faith says, I have it before I can see it. Before the sense world is in my hands, before I can feel it, touch it, smell it, scratch it, all those things, I already own it. It's already mine. That's faith. Where most believers are not living by faith, we're living by, I'll believe it when I see it. Amen. I hope it happens. Well, I got prayed for and it didn't seem to work. All of those things are disqualifying realities to the truth about what faith is. Faith is not denying facts, but faith is declaring the truth. So as believers, God is bringing us to a new level in our lives. The new level is, no matter where you are in your walk with faith, no matter where you are in your place of faith, you can always go higher. Everybody shout, next level. You can always go to the next level. The problem is, if you're never challenged to go to your next level, you'll always stay where you are. Very few people are going to step out on nothing to land on something if the something is more secure. So God wants to take us on an adventure. You see, believers that are usually bored within church are the believers that don't walk by faith. There's no adventure. There's no growth. There's no stretching. You're bored because you are just doing the same old, same old. And God wants to take you on this place where you learn how to trust him in a greater manner. You learn how to believe his word. You learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. What I want to do this morning is I want to do a few things, and I hope you don't mind. It's somewhat of a teaching message, but I believe that if you get this in your craw, that you will grow in Christ this morning. I want to show you scripturally that you cannot separate certain things in the Bible. We all know, according to the word of God, you cannot separate the blood and the body. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The blood represents forgiveness, and the body represents healing. We find this in Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 15, Psalms 105, Psalms 107, Psalms 103. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. And then we have Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 5, 1 through 6. And then we have Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And then we have 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. All say, and well as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we just had communion, you cannot separate the blood and the body. Wherever you see the blood, you will see the body. If it's always God's will to save, it's always God's will to heal. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You also cannot separate the gospel and the power. Wherever you saw the gospel preached, you saw the power of God released. Wherever you saw the power of God released, you always saw the gospel released. And you also cannot separate the Bible and faith. The Bible says that if you're going to have faith and please God, one day somebody walked up to me and said, Pastor, are you one of those hyper-faith preachers? And I looked at him and said, well, of course, aren't you? You know, they meant it as a tear down. I looked at him and said, but don't you get it? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I don't know about you. I want all the faith I can get. Call me hyper. Call me whatever you want. The more faith I have, the happier God is with me because I can trust him more. So, yes, I'm a hyper-faith preacher. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith, come on now, let's just go to the word of God. Let's prove it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Come on now, one more time, let's read it together. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's that? We're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, whether you like it or not, Jesus made a declaration in John chapter 6. He said, if you're going to follow me, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they said, he's a cannibal. No, he was not a cannibal. He was talking spiritually. You must drink of his blood. What is that? The blood is what forgives us of our sins. And you'll eat of his flesh, which is your healing health that Christ promised on the cross. And the truth is, Jesus made the declaration in verse 63. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Why? Because Jesus is the word. The word of God is Christ. You cannot separate faith and the word, they are one, synonymous in the same. So I like this. Let's look at this one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says this. For I walk by the word and not by the sight. It says, I walk by faith and not by sight. Synonymous word, I walk by the word, and this is the issue with the body of Christ. So many of the body of Christ no longer believe in the Bible. No, we say we do. We say we believe in it. We say it's inerrant. We say it's God's word. But a lot of people believe in the Bible but never live the Bible. If you actually believe in something, you will live something. I can prove that to you. You meet the woman of your life. You love her. Your heart beats. You get on your knee and you spend $5,000 on a ring. And it's all it is a stone. Go try to trade that thing in. You're going to get $1.25. You buy the diamond ring. You kneel down. You go, will you marry me? Oh, yes, I love you. I'll marry you. And then you start your plans. And that's planning the wedding. $20,000, $30,000. Listen, I give caps to my kids. I told them what they could spend. That's all. That's all you're getting. I don't know. You got to figure it out. Man, there are people, I know people that literally have spent over $100,000 on their wedding. Isn't that crazy? I don't know if you're in here. Please don't be offended, but that's crazy. They get married, they walk down the aisle, the preacher says their vows, signs their papers, they're married. Now, won't you expect them to act married? So, Friday night comes around. When they were single, they used to go to the bar. They went to the bar together, and she broke off and go met another guy. They started kissing in the corner. Would you say there could be a problem here? Why would you consider that a problem? Because if you're married, you act married. Amen. If you're going to live by faith, believe in the Bible, you've got to obey the Bible. Here's the quandary in the body of Christ. We say we believe in the Bible, but when it comes time to actually living the Bible, we live more by our senses than we do by faith. We trust more in what we can see, touch, smell, scratch, all the other things than we do by God's word. You see, we've got to come to this transition in our walk with the Lord. The Bible says very clearly, as we said, faith is the assurance, the title deed. It's what we hope for. This means this. This means before I can touch it in the natural senses, before it's in my hand, it's already mine. That's why there's a problem when somebody says, well, you know, I came up to be prayed for, but, you know, I don't feel any different. This is not about feelings. But, Pastor, you're telling me that we're supposed to deny the facts. No. You can't deny the facts, but God never told you to put faith in your facts. God told you to put faith in his word. So the trial with the believer is coming to a place where we stop believing more in what we can sense and put more faith and more trust and more declaration in what the word says. This is a struggle with most of us. Say amen or oh my. That's why the Bible says God's given us a measure of faith. And he said to some, oh, ye a little faith. He said to some, oh, ye a great faith. And he said, the disciples asked him, increase our faith. Why? Because we've got to grow in our faith. And this faith grows as we mature by putting more faith, more trust in what not our senses say, but in what the word says. As believers, this is a challenge because it's not enough to believe in the Bible. It's not enough. There are a lot of people out there who all believe in the Bible. Well, I believe in the Bible. That's nice. You can believe in the Bible all you want. But if you don't activate the Bible in your life, do you actually believe? Y'all heard the verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You ever heard that verse? Would you like me to slow that down? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word believe there is not a noun. It's a verb. If you believe in something, you live something. If you believe in something, you are active in something. If you believe in marriage, you act married. Listen, you had more sleep than I had. If you believe in marriage, you act married. This is why we have a quandary with couples living together. Not only is it unbiblical, but you're acting married before you are married. God wants to bring us to a place where we start acting upon His Word. God works through His Word. God acts through His Word. God confirms His Word with signs and wonders following. So His Word is more than just you and I saying, well, that's the Bible, I have one of those. But this literally is life to us. This literally is how we live our life. In Him we live and move and have our being. But we can't do that if we don't believe in that. And worse than that, you can't do that if you don't know this. Again, that's why the enemy works so desperate to keep you out of church. There are so many people that, listen, I believe this. This church building should already be absolutely full. Twice. I'm talking so much that every chair that we have is all the way to the back and out into the foyer. Can I hear an amen? That we have so many children, I've got to give up my office on this side, and everybody else does, because there are so many kids, there's not enough room for them. I believe that. Do you believe that? Listen, there are 1,300 people that come to this church every single month, but they're just not here the same week. Why are people not here the same week? Well, some of them, simply because they physically cannot, but that's probably the smallest amount. What you'll find that most people do is they live so much by their senses, I'd rather sleep in. Well, it's sunny out, I'd like to get some sun. Well, I'm tired, I'm going to stay home. Well, you know what? I just want to hang out with my family. Listen, I love my family, and I love the sunshine. Can I hear an amen? But I will never give up God's house. When I'm not, even when I'm not in town, I still go to church. Why is that? Because I know what the Word is. This is life. This is breath. And when the Word of God is preached, my faith level, my trust level builds, and which brings my sense level back into submission. When I am not hearing the Word, then my flesh is always going to rise above the Word. But when I'm in the Word, growing in God, then the Word supersedes the flesh, which means I bring my sense world into subjection to the Word of God, even my thoughts. For the Bible says that you and I fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we're to bring every thought and imagination into captivity to the Word of God. All of this is powerful because it brings us to a place of learning how to not be just like everybody else. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to live like everybody else. You don't have to struggle like everybody else. You know, it's funny. Somebody stands up and they say, I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord. Boy, I'm having a hard week. Do you realize what you just said? I don't believe the Bible. But Pastor, the facts are, I'm having a bad week. But the truth is, I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord. So which one do you live? This is that spiritual collision I was talking about the first week. The collision between the sense world and the collision between the spirit world. We've got to make a decision who's going to win that collision. Who we're going to put more faith in. They came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, they said, you got to pay taxes. The sense world said, Peter didn't have any money. Jesus had money, but he wanted to make a point. And he made the statement, go fishing. Well, why was that? Because God put enough money in the fish's mouth to pay both Peter's taxes and Jesus' taxes, and Christ was showing that the power of the Spirit is greater than the natural sense world. Until you and I get this, we're constantly destroying even God's purpose for our life, because what we do is every time it's time to step out in faith, we look around to make sure we're safe. Where faith says, I step out on nothing to land on what's the something? The something is the word of God. The something is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Either the word is truth, either the word is solid, or the word is weak, and the word is worthless. You see, this is where you and I as believers have got to come back to being a believer again. Do I actually believe the word of God is truth? Because when we believe that the Bible is true, we can stand upon the word of God. And no matter what the sense world says, we can remain steadfast, immovable, because God's word is true. Yea and amen. Not one jot of tittle shall pass away before it's all come to fruition. See, this is the challenge. Now, for me, God works with everybody a little bit different, but I want to show you today how God works with me and how God spoke to me. Because, you know, I'm not a real visionary. I had a man come to my house when we lived in the town of Dix one time, and this is probably 20 years ago, and he said, I'm going to put on a deck on your house. I said, that's great. You know, we were paying him, and he said, I'm gonna do this, and this. And I said, draw me a picture, please. Because he saw it. He saw it all in the framework of his mind. He had enough vision within his own head that he could actually see it completed. I couldn't see it completed. So sometimes when I'm believing in faith, it's a little bit of a struggle for me. But as you can tell, you're sitting in what I saw. So I kind of figured something out. One day, as I was praying for something, I said, God, it seems like it's hard to grab a hold of it in the spirit. And he said, then grab a hold of the word. He said, my truth will make you free. My word is solid and synonymous with faith. I said, but God, let's just put it away. Let's just say you're believing God for healing in your body. And the doctors give you a bad report. And that's the facts. But the word of God declares, by his stripes I was healed. Not am healed, but I was healed. It's already done. It's already completed. So what I learned was, when there's sickness, or when I'm believing God for something, I say, God, I'm believing by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is, now the word is, the substance of things hoped for. The word is my substance. So when I'm believing God for something, let's just say healing, I'll take the word and I'll literally grab it in my hands and apply it to my life. This is where faith is being contacted and released in my life. Now watch, you don't need the word anymore once it's manifested. You don't need faith anymore once you've already received what you're believing for. Once you've got it, you don't have to exercise faith towards it. It's already completed. But this is the challenge of us as believers. If that's the answer over here, if this is the answer, and you're over here struggling, and all of a sudden you have a trial in front of you, but you know God's word is yea and amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Then I can grab a hold of the word. And my pastor in Rochester, Pastor Mary Edlin, she would tell me one time, she said, and this is where I was, my process of learning, she said, Michael, sometimes I'd get $200,000 worth of bills for the church. And I'd say, that's a lot of money. She goes, yes. And I'd look at the bank account and there's not $200,000 in there. She said, what I would do is I would literally lay all my bills on the floor and I would lay on top of them and start decreeing the word of the Lord over them. She had to have a point of contact to release her faith. For me, it's the word of God. I'll find a scripture. I'll find where God said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. If I'm having problems in my finances, or let's just say I'm having a sickness in my body, I'll look at the word of God and declare that by his stripes I was healed. I'll literally take the word of God and apply it to the part of my body that is not feeling well. And I'll start normally walking my daily life. Now listen, I'm not saying that I got a miracle. I'm not saying, listen, I know we all want to live by miracles and signs and wonders. But the fact is God told us to walk by faith, not miracles. Faith says, God's word said it, it's mine. So I apply it, and while I'm walking my everyday life and symptoms are still there, that's the reality, that's the fact. But I choose to live by the truth that I declare that by his stripes I was healed. That Jesus, you went to the cross. Lord, I forget not all of your benefits, who forgives every sickness and heals every disease. And as I continue my walk, you'll find that healing will work its through in your life. The word is imperative to you. Some of you, this is the only word you're going to get all week. You're not going to pick up your Bible. You're not going to listen to YouVersion. You're going to come to church on Sunday. This is all you're going to get. And you're so frustrated in your walk with God. You're saying, God, where are you? And God's saying, no, where are you? For what you feed grows, what you starve dies. You can't grow your faith unless you're in the Word of God. See, this is that challenge that we have. We've got to release the Word of God in our life. Listen, some of you are businesses. I know businesses that are out here in this room right now, and there are times that things are tough, things are challenging, and you've got to make a decision. Do I walk by sight? Now, I'm not telling you to be stupid, but do I walk by sight or do I walk by faith? When you're in need, sow a seed. Well, you know, that they're asking for more money when I'm hurting. No, 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 you don't get it. When you learn the principles of the Word of God, you can't sow without a harvest. You don't have to look at it and whine and cry and say, I'm going to die. You can get up, put your shoulders back, declare the Word of God, and walk by faith and not by sight. And you'll find that the sense world will come into subjection with the kingdom. When you learn this, your life changes. Because we recognize that God the Father already sees it's completed. It's already done in God's mind. He's not tethered to linear time. God has eternal time. So we're over here praying for the answer, declaring the answer, applying our faith, applying the word, and God says it's already done. So every time we sit back and we allow the sense world to invade the spirit world, we cancel the spirit world because we believe more in our senses than we do by faith in the Word of God. Are you getting anything this morning? Now I want to show you this. I just want to show you the scripture, if you don't mind. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5, 1 through 7. Luke 5, 1 through 7. I was telling the last service, my wife and I are going to make an app. The app is going to be the sound of the Bible pages turning. So when you come to church, you can hear the Bible pages turn. Listen, I challenge you as your pastor, you need to start bringing your Bible to church. I know you have YouVersion. I know it's on your phone or on your laptop or on your iPad. But I want to tell you to do this because, you know, I every morning I use my iPad usually to do my devotions. And I'll get in there and I'll write a note in that app I have. What happens if that app dies? All my notes that God has been speaking to me are now gone and flushed. I challenge you to use your Bible. I call them legacy books that I'm going to be passing on to my children. That prophecies are in here and what God has spoken to me is in it. Bring your Bible to church. Can I hear an amen? Luke chapter 5 says this. So it was the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God. Like I said, there are some people that are not in this room today that are going to struggle desperately with their faith. And the reason is they're not here to get the equipment to get them out of the ditch. They're going to have to find it on their own. And if they're not going to come to church, they're usually not going to dig it their own. They're usually the people that walk away from Jesus, mad at God. Listen, you can't. God don't lie. Can I hear an amen? So if God is truth, then we've got to start getting into the truth. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So here, people were so desperate. My question to you and I is, when was the last time you were so desperate for the word of God, you pressed in and took no for an answer? When was the last time you wanted God's word so bad that you couldn't wait to get to church? You wanted to fight somebody over the front row. We have had fights in the front row. Some pastors would feel that was bad. I like that. Throw down in the front row. Josiah, where are you? When was the last time that you were so desperate for God's word? Listen, do you want to know usually when we get desperate for God's word is when we're in trouble. That's when we call upon the name of the Lord. Help! You can't build your faith when you need the help. Can I hear an amen? You got to build your faith before you have that trouble. You got to build up your resistance. You got to build up your strength. You got to build up your trust. Don't wait till trouble comes. Press in to hear the word of God. Then Jesus stood by the lake and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So let me paint a picture here. Jesus is down by the lake, and this is Peter, by the way. Peter was a professional fisherman, a successful guy. He didn't have a rowboat. They say he had up to 3 medium size. Some even say he had up to 20 different boats. And in this boat, what he did was his whole living was fishing. This is all he did. My wife, she loves to fish. I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense to me. But for Christmas, what I do for Rhonda is she likes experience gifts rather than just gifts. So 2 years ago, I bought her a fishing trip, a deep-sea fishing trip down in Daytona. So about 2 weeks ago, we went to this fishing trip. So we get in a boat. No, I just want to make this real to you. We got in a boat that I have never been in before, and we're going 25 miles out in the ocean. I've never met the captain. I don't know the captain. Don't tell me you don't have faith. I got in this boat of a man I do not know, and he started to leave the port. And all of a sudden, you start looking out. East, there's nothing. You start looking south, and you start seeing the top of the buildings. You're a long way out there, baby. All of a sudden, he said, okay, drop anchor. The anchor drops to the ground. You see nothing. You're in the middle of the ocean. He drops anchor, and he says, now everybody put your bait on and drop it down. It's going to go down about 80 feet. We dropped down, and man, sure enough, about 80 feet of line went down, and then I started catching fish. Now, y'all got to know that's a miracle. Jesus is good. I started catching fish. In fact, I caught the most on the boat. 5 minutes before the end of the trip, what does she do? She pulls in the biggest snapper on the boat. Sometimes I just don't like her at all. That man was a professional fisherman. He knew what he needed in the boat. He knew the bait he needed. He knew where to take us. He took us out on this reef bank, I guess. He knew where it was. I didn't know where it was. That's what he did for a living. Watch this now. Here's Jesus. He's preaching the gospel. Man, the word of God is preaching. Who's the word? Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word preaching the gospel. People are pressing him. And there's no place for him to go. He's at the edge of the lake. So he finds two boats. The fishermen aren't in there anymore. They're over fixing their nets. They had just come in from a long night of fishing and caught nothing. So Christ climbs up into the boat, starts teaching, man. Everything is good. Everything is great. And then he takes a look. And he looks at the professional fishermen and he says this. Ready? Launch out into the deep. Let's go catch some fish. He didn't say, launch out into the deep. Let's hope we catch some fish. He didn't say, launch out into the deep. I'm thinking that something might be out there. He said, launch out into the deep and you will catch fish. Who is he? Here, a professional fisherman is listening to a carpenter. This is the problem with the sense world. Some of us think we're more than we're not. And when the Word of God tells us to do something, our sense world makes more sense because we've lived it. We have a handle on it. We understand it. So therefore, God's Word can't be true. You got to make a decision. Who are you going to believe? Am I boring you this morning? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the word that became flesh and stand on the word, get wrapped up in the word, declare the word, not be moved from the word? Or are you going to be a person that says, well, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. Listen, I'm a professional fisherman. I know where the reefs are. I've been out all night long. Not only all night long, I caught nothing. Not only did I catch nothing, my nets got ripped. Now I've got to mend the nets. And you're a what? You're a carpenter, a nice little guy who's given a public speech, and you're telling me to get back in my boat? See how powerful the sense world is? But something happened here with Simon. He made a declaration. He said this in verse 5. But, everybody shout, but. Listen now. When you're always looking at your butt, you can never see your forward. The reason people say but is because their sense doesn't make sense to them. When you're always sitting over here in your butt, and yet your future is there, your destiny is there, your purpose is there, you're never going to move there because your sense world will always keep you here. But, I love this, nevertheless, at your word. See, Peter made a choice. He said, God, I don't know if he even knew he was God at that point in time. He had just heard Jesus preach. He had heard faith arise. How? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The Messiah, the word himself, was preaching. And all of a sudden, faith is rising up in Peter. And Jesus says, listen now, I want to reward you. I want to reward you for letting me use your boat. Let's launch out, and let's go catch some fish. And Peter had to make a decision. The sense world or the spirit world? The sense world that makes sense, that doesn't, that I've lived, I understand, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm sleepy. I've just spent all night long with no success. Or, nevertheless, Jesus, at your word, I'm going to move forward. This is where some of you are. All this is real. But you got to make a choice. Nevertheless, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe his word. I choose to stand on it. I choose to declare it. I will not be moved from God's word. If God's word said it, God cannot lie. Then it's immovable in my heart. And no matter what the outward circumstances declare, if God said it, I'm going to exercise my faith. Exercise faith, the currency of heaven. And I'm going to activate the supernatural to invade my natural world. And God will change my circumstances. That only comes if we live by faith. See that? Nevertheless, I need you to hear this. God can't do what you won't let him do. Nevertheless, I will. If Simon had said, I don't want to go back out, I don't want to go fishing, I know what I'm doing. It was a bust. I'm tired. I'm going home. Then guess what? He would never have had his miracle. Some of you have been there. You're at that crossroads. Nevertheless, this makes more sense right here, man. I know what I can see. I know what I can touch. I know what I can smell. I know what I can scratch. I understand this part over here. You know, the spiritual stuff is nice, but man, I need the money now. But man, I need the healing now. But man, I need the help right now. God, I thank you. You're a good God. I'm going to heaven. I love you. But Lord, right here, I've got to deal with this myself. I want you to recognize you and I can't do anything by ourselves. Listen now, if you were a humaniac, has anybody ever heard of a humaniac? I only heard of that because I had a neighbor once who was one. If you're a humaniac, maybe you love animals so much and creatures so much that all of a sudden your husband came out, saw a fly in the room, and decided to hit it. So it hit it, and its wing fell off, and you felt moved with compassion. So you decided you're going to fix the wing of this fly. So you walked over to the wing, you picked it up, and you pet the fly. And then you tried to put it back, and you let go, and it fell. So you picked the wing back up. Licked it a little bit, tried to stick it back on. No, it still fell. So then you yell out to your husband, do we have any super glue in the house? I don't care who you are. You ain't fixing that fly's wing. If you can't fix a fly's wing, what makes you think you can fix your life? If you can't fix a fly's wing, what makes you think you can fix your life? This is why God said, I'm for you, not against you. I'm going to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Ah, I've got life for you, life more than you could ever even fathom. Your eye has not seen, your ear has heard. Your mind cannot even conceive the great things I have in store for those that love him. I've got divine health for you. I've got divine blessing for you. I've got prosperity for you. I'm going to make your name great. But God can't do that if you don't will. Nevertheless, I will. You know what he did? He looked at the sense world and said, I know what you mean. I know I fished all night. I know I'm tired. I know I'm hungry. I know it was a failure. I know it cost me money. I know that if I go back out there during the daytime, I'm going to catch nothing more than I caught in the nighttime. But yet, he had to make a choice. Nevertheless, I will. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. The word said, launch out into the deep. The word said, obey me. The word said, follow me. The word says, have faith in me. And when he did, he had so much, it took two boats and almost sunk them both. You can't live by sight. You got to live by faith. And that's our challenge in this world, because the sense world makes so much sense to us because that's where we're sitting right here. But the moment you accept Christ, you're now seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's time to, come on now, transform your mind, renew your mind by the word of God. And the word of God gets in and starts changing you from the inside out. Your faith level rises. You start believing. You start declaring. You start to walk by faith and not by sight. You start to walk by faith and not by sight. You start to walk by faith and not by, come on now, I can't hear you. You walk by faith and not by sight. When you start to live this way, there are no constraints for you. Because when you know God, there's divine access for you. Well, I've been believing God for 5 years and nothing's happened. Well, thank God you're not Abraham. He had to believe for 10 years. Excuse me, 20 years. Abraham believed for 20 years for his promise. The Bible says he wavered not in faith. We've got to make a decision. Do we want to live by faith or live by sight? Do we want to try to glue the fly's limb back on? Or do we want to trust a God who said, let there be and there was? And this is everyday life. I'm not talking some weird, strange thing. I'm talking every day. A trial comes down every day. How are you going to face it? With faith Or are you going to face it with fear? You're going to let your sensory world control you? Or are you going to live by the word of God and declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Can I hear an amen? I said no weapon formed against me shall prosper. They come in one way, they're going to have to flee seven ways. Can I hear an amen? That if God is for me, who can be against me? The Bible says that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I tell you right now, by his stripes, I was healed. My God, he's going to bless me going in, and he's going to bless me coming out. I'm blessed in every area of my life because God is on my side. I live by faith and not by sight. I live by the word of God. I stand upon the word. If I could wrap myself in this word, I would. Maybe I'll try. There comes a point in your life, you got to make a decision as a believer. Are you a believer? Are you and do you actually believe the Bible's true? And some of us are sitting here and we're saying, I hope I do. That means you don't. I hope it works. That means you don't. You don't get faith by osmosis. You get faith by feeding your spirit. My wife got bit by a tick a few weeks back. Or I guess it's been about a month. So she went to the doctor, of course, which is wise. Some people say they don't believe in doctors. I believe in doctors. Anything that thwarts sickness is good. Amen? So she went to the doctor. They gave her a prescription. It was an antibiotic. The doctor did tell her, don't go in the sun. You got to obey your doctor. So here we are. We're in Florida. And she went in the sun, and she starts walking on the tile floor in the bathroom. And it's like all the nerve endings are like on fire, jumping up through her feet. And her hands are freaking out, feeling really weird too. She got online, and it said, this prescription doesn't work well for most people. If you're having these symptoms, discontinue. I said to her, what's the name of the prescription? She said, I don't know. Do you realize that we put faith in so many more things than the Word of God? She didn't even know the name of the prescription and she took it. She didn't even research what the symptoms were going to be if she did. She just took it. You know what I find is that a lot of people in the body of Christ, the Word of God is our answer. The Word of God is our prescription, but yet we don't take it. I have a prescription for you. I challenge you all to read your Bible for at least 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes. I don't have time. Then your time has been mismanaged. People tell me all the time, I don't have time to read the Bible. Your time is mismanaged. Let me tell you why. Because you spend so much time in the sense world that you've never invested in the spirit world. Now you've got problems when the sense world turns against you. And then I challenge some of you, you need to listen to the Bible all night long when you go to sleep. You do that in your faith. Your spirit man doesn't sleep. And your spirit man's getting fed the word, getting fed the word, getting fed the word, and your faith is rising, your faith is rising. I mean, it's really cool because the spirit's job is to bring remembrance all those things which Jesus taught. And so you'll be one day just out there, and you heard something in your sleep. Your spirit man grabbed a hold of it and fed it, and now you start to regurgitate it. It's really cool. Your faith will rise. Some of you need supernatural faith, but you're not going to get it by coming to church on a Sunday morning. You're going to get a shot of faith, but here's your challenge. Every day you don't read the Bible, don't eat. Every day you do not read the Bible, don't eat any food. Let me tell you what your body's going to say. I hate you. I'm going to kill you. You're going to smell every kind of food there is. And even if you hate it, you're going to want it. I'm praying the same thing in the spirit. And finally, you'll want God's word so desperately that you'll press in to get it. And when you do, you can become a faith giant. And when you do, man, your prayers are going to be answered the timing you want them answered. Can I hear an amen? See, a lot of us, our prayers aren't answered because we don't have any faith. We're still hoping it through. God's not moved by your hope. God's moved by your faith. Are you a faith person? Are you a man and a woman of faith? Do you know the word? If a problem comes, do you have anything to stand on? Are you just hoping things work out for your life? Are you hoping everything is okay? I don't know about you. My God didn't create me to hope everything was going to be okay. I call those things which are not as though they already are. I declare that I'm not going to have a bad day in Jesus' name. I declare that the blessing of God is yea and amen. I declare that I'm the healed of God, the healthy of God in Jesus' name. I declare that there is no depression, there is no discouragement, but that God is for me and not against me in Jesus' name. I declare that no weapon formed against me. I'm going to succeed in everything I do. Why? Because the word tells me so. And I trust God's word above my senses. And when you do that, you're going to transcend. You're going to have heaven invade your earth. And everything changes for you. Everything changes. Aren't you sick of it yet? Aren't you sick of the sense world controlling you? Aren't you sick yet of the inconsistencies? Aren't you sick yet of the roller coaster? Isn't it time to get into the Word of God and know by faith that you are blessed? We say that over every prayer, over every offering. And I just really honestly believe, and I don't mean to be crass, but I believe most of you just quote that verse. I don't. I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. The blessings are tripping me up. Why? I'm a son of God. I'm not a Christian. I'm a son of God. Oh, by the way, God never called you Christian. That's a man-made sense term. He called you a son, a daughter, a believer, an ambassador. He called you heir and joint. We can go through the list. It's time to start believing the word of God. Amen. I know I preach long, but you know what? I'm not going to apologize. There are people that will pay $500, $1,000 to sit with a man and have him teach him how to make money. They'll spend all day long. They gave him the money. Listen, all day long, how to make more. I just taught you how to make not only money, but how to get healthy, how to get your family saved, and how to live blessed in every facet of your life. All, I didn't take anything. You gave your tithe. Some of you even didn't do that. You still got blessed. It's time to eat. It's time to grow. It's time to mature. Amen. Father, I just declare in the name of Jesus that we are the blessed of heaven. I declare in the name of Jesus we are blessed going in and blessed going out. I declare in the name of Jesus that we walk by faith and not by sight. I declare, God, that you are showing us, teaching us, that your word is alive and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That, God, your word is yea and amen. Lord, we are people of faith. We trust you. We trust your word. We hold it above, oh God, all things on this planet. And declare that God is true and every man is a liar. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to live in this world that is so powerful, transcendent upon this natural world. And God will bless you going in and bless you going out. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you'd like him as your Lord and Savior, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says he'll wash your sins away. He'll make you a brand new woman and a brand new man. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I know God will change your life right where you're at. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Can I say something to you as believers? Don't come alone. You know what my prayer is? We're going to get more people saved outside where you are. But man, we should never have somebody not saved in a service. We already had, five people born again in first service. I thank God for that. But man, we just ended a service with no one giving their heart to Christ. That means either there are no unsaved people in the room or you didn't bring anybody, or they're here and God's convicting them. I challenge you. Make sure you fill your role. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to fill my role. Come on, tell somebody, I'm going to fill my role. You know this, right? The only thing you can take to heaven with you is somebody else. So don't come alone. Fill your role. There are people that need Christ. They're just waiting to hear your invitation. Father, I speak blessing. I declare, God, we are people of faith. I declare, God, you are training us in faith. I declare, God, your word is true. I declare, God, we'll walk by faith and not by sight. And when trials come our way this week, that, Lord, we'll look it straight in the face and declare the truth over it. We'll declare the word over it. We'll grab the scripture and apply it. And, Lord, we will not be moved to the right or to the left. Lord, we will not be moved by our senses. We'll be moved by the word of God. Lord, I declare that we are the blessed of God. And Lord, that we are the testimony of this earth, and that, Lord, will lead many souls to Jesus for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, can I share with you a vision of mine? I believe in God that everybody in this room, there are 1,300 people that come to His Tabernacle Family Church a month. I'm declaring that every year, that every one of you will lead just one person to Jesus Christ in a whole year. Just one. Just lead one person to the Savior. Just lead one person to the cross of Christ where they give their heart to the Lord. Do you realize if everyone in this room led one person to Jesus, by next year, this room would be too full. Just one. I challenge you to lead one soul to Jesus this year. You've got 6 months left. God will lead you to that person. And whether it be in the supermarket, whether it be, no matter where it is, get them born again, share Christ with them, share the love with them. Man, and Christ will put faith in their heart and they'll be saved. Amen? I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Thank you so much for being here. You're an awesome body. We love you very much.